Happy Easter. As I imagine is the case for many families, growing up, my family had a number of rules, two very specific ones, about how we are to behave as a family. One of them was no lying. So if you ever lied about something and were caught out, that was a quick way to be grounded or spanked or otherwise disciplined. The other one was about respect. And so we were taught, you know, phone etiquette and talking to each other, not only to adults, certainly that, but also to each other. And if we found ourselves crossing that line to be unkind or just, you know, mean, that would be grounds for also finding ourselves with particular punishment. There were certain words, of course, that were also never allowed to be used. And one of them was the F word. Now, of course, you're probably thinking of that four-letter one, and that one could earn you some Dawn dish soap right away as a tasty, tasty treat. But that's not actually the word I'm thinking of. No, it's a different word, still an F word, but it was a word that gets thrown around a lot, a word that kids like to tease each other with, and even adults will throw around carelessly. I am speaking of the word fat. We just weren't allowed to use that word. It's a struggle in our family. And I have found as an adult that I'm not much fond of it either, and so I don't like being called that or have others hear others refer to each other as that. But I also found that the medical term that doctors now use when you go in and perhaps you have a few more pounds than you should is not much better. Obese. So my solution upon being informed of that certain status that I now qualified for was to simply not talk to doctors anymore and not go to visit them anymore. However, there's a scale in my house, and not too long ago, I stepped on the scale and had found, to my dismay, that I had hit over 300 pounds. And so I decided, well, I'm just not going to step on the scale anymore. And Christmas came, and Christmas passed, and one day, while sitting on the office chair in my house, it broke. And I thought to myself, this strategy isn't working. And so, finally coming to grips with the fact that whatever word needed to be used, I fit into that category. It was time to face facts that diet and exercise are a necessary part of my life as it is. I'll tell you, by the way, I discovered something neat that I wanted to share with you. Did you know that bacon has less calories than eggs? It's true. Bacon is 43 calories, and one egg is 72 calories. Fun fact for the day, tell your friends. But nonetheless, facing that reality, as painful as it has been relatively helpful. I'm not going to tell you how far I've got to go, but there's been progress made, and it's nice to be going all right, seeing those numbers go down. I share this with you because last week I used a different word, closure, that I know brought out a lot of painful reactions, whether it was just in seeing your faces standing up here as I preached, or various folks who called the office and expressed their consternation or their anxiety, or a few folks who talked to me after Mass. A lot of you avoided me, and I can respect that, but I noticed. And I know that it's been a hard week thinking about those things. And again, I want to reiterate, I brought that word up to talk about a possible future, but let us rest assured that that is not even being discussed at this time by anyone in the Archdiocese. It's not being a conversation that's being proposed for us. But it is something that we ought to recognize, kind of like when the doctor says, lose weight, or you might get diabetes or have a stroke. Similarly, too, changes need to be had, or we might find ourselves as a parish facing an unpleasant future. But it makes us anxious. And if you're like me, it made me anxious and made you anxious, too. And I want to share with you foremost that you're not alone in that, both in your brother and sister parishioners, as well as me. I was nervous getting up in front of you, and in fact, on Monday I had an opportunity to meet with some brother priests and pour out my own nervousness about how is this going to go? How are people going to respond? What is the Lord going to do? I wrote a little bit about it, in fact, on my blog. I won't bore you with it now, but you can read the link in the pastor's notes if you'd like to touch base on it. But my point is, you're not alone in that feeling, in that anxiety. And after Mass today, when you take a bulletin, as promised, we included the Finance Council and the Pastoral Council and our staff. We put together a one-page summary sheet that I really want to encourage you to read, because our hope was that we could give you some hard facts and figures so you can see exactly what we're talking about. And that too may be a bit anxiety-inducing, a bit nervous to read. But we don't want to stay there. We don't want to live in that emotion. And while we may be feeling these things, and it's not a bad thing to feel these things, what do we do with them? Well, kind of like that analogy with the diet, I'd also like to point you to another place in the spiritual life where we often experience a lot of anxiety or fear. And you hear me talk about it a lot. Confession. Offered every Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock and every Saturday from 3 to 4:30. You should go. But when we think about confession, how often do we think, perhaps not in joyful terms, but anxious terms? I have to go in. I have to name my weaknesses and my failings and my limitations, my failed efforts, the times when I have fallen short of the call of holiness. Truthfully, I know very few people, certainly I am not one of them, who think, yay, I get to name my sins. But what happens when we do? Especially when we're honest, especially when we are complete as we can be in recalling those times when we have fallen short. Every single time that we make a good confession, God's grace and his mercy fill the gap. This is the promise the Lord offers to us in all aspects of our lives. And in this second week of our in-parish mission, I would like you to be reminded of this promise, that we are God's chosen people and that we are members of his body. We heard in the first reading today, Paul and Barnabas, who strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, but they said this, and it almost doesn't even sound very encouraging, but somehow it was. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships. Why is it necessary? Well, they go on. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because we are limited, because we are weak, because we fall short, we need to do work in order to present our weaknesses to the Lord, to present our needs to him. We cannot avoid facing our own realities personally and parochially. Lord, we fall short, but you don't. Please help us. I want to encourage you to continue to engage in those three questions. They're in the bulletin again if you don't remember them. The first one is, what does it mean for us to be a parish? The second one, what does it mean for me to be a parishioner? And the third one, how is the Lord calling me and us to more fully enter into those roles and those mysteries? And I want to encourage you to spend time not only in prayer with those things, but also in prayer and discussion with each other, family, friends, fellow parishioners, and perhaps too to share some of those anxieties. Father keeps talking about these difficulties. How does that make me feel? How am I struggling with this? Perhaps it brings up not only fears and anxieties, but frustrations or angers, or maybe even feelings of guilt or, gosh, am I responsible? By the way, I'm not saying that you are, but sometimes we feel that way, or we just wonder, what do we do here? To be able to share those things not only with each other, but with the Lord, does something incredible. It invites the Lord into that moment, and Jesus waits for the invitation. You'll notice that unless the plane were going down or something, I and other priests, we don't offer general absolution just all over the place. We could, by the way, and it would effectively absolve you of your sins, but we're forbidden from doing so, and you know why? Because confession is not meant to be imposed upon people, except again in those major emergencies where the Titanic is sinking or the train is about to derail. But generally speaking, in the life of the church, the Lord means for us to invite him in. He does not impose, but proposes. And he waits for us to say, Lord, I need you. And there is no shame in that. In fact, there is great glory. And we hear the Lord even say that in the gospel today. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And when did that happen? When Judas had left them to betray Jesus. When Judas went to make Christ his most vulnerable is when God begins to show his glory, begins to show his plan for us. Christ leads the way in vulnerability, and there is no shame in that. Are we vulnerable as a parish? Yes. Are there scary things about that? Absolutely. But just as the cross is not the end, so this is not the end. This is the beginning. This is an opportunity for us to turn to the Lord and say, what have you got? What are your plans? How can I participate? May we ask the Lord to open our hearts, both to wash us clean of any fears or anxieties or shame or guilt, and rather to present ourselves with trust. God desires to show his glory in our lives. He doesn't do it just for Christ, or rather, he does it for Christ, but also with us, because we are part of the body of Christ, having been baptized into the Lord. And so I encourage you not to stop in this process. It's meant to be a four-week thing. And so I hope that you are not discouraged, or at least not overly discouraged, but most of all, that you stay with it and stay with each other. God is working with us and will work with us. May we take this opportunity to reflect together, both here in church and at home, and perhaps at coffee shops and other places as well, with each other, to pray together, to share together where we are at, and ask the Lord to show us where he would like us to go. It is necessary for us to endure many hardships, but it is so that we will enter into the kingdom of God. May we, like the apostles, the disciples that were encouraged by Paul and Barnabas, similarly be encouraged that God will glorify himself in us. And all we have to do is present ourselves and ask for his assistance.